everybody. Welcome to the Friday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Horry alongside, as always. We'll take you to 3. Hand it off to our good friend Phil Bonatti. His fine show behind the bench. Normally 3 hours, 2 hours today, because he and Paul Metters are getting ready for Garza at Singer tonight, 7 o'clock. I'll tell you all about the schedule, a very busy schedule, both 1430 and 790, filled with football and baseball. Have hockey and basketball coming around the bend. We already got started with the NHL and the Lakers coming up very shortly. So I'll tell you all about the schedules for both stations a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering. Want to thank Ed, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe Stainless Supply, the local operators of KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and also Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, because they allow me on Friday to bring Brian up right away, which we will talk to our great friend Brian Panish, and then I'll get to all the readers a little bit later on, and then we'll set you up for the weekend, including Fresno State, CBS Sports Network, 6 o'clock tonight, the Friday game. Reminds you about that. I just talked to Jackson, who is in Fort Collins, and he'll be busy threading that game on the bark board, and so I hope you check that out. And, of course, we'll have Paul and everybody next week to talk about it. So I hope you see it tonight. Listen to it, whatever you're going to do, and we will certainly break it down for you. But right now, before we get to all the reminders, for everybody on the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 320-1430, it is our great friend, Mr. Top Dog himself, Brian Panish, who is celebrating that offensive outburst by the Dodgers last night. A bases-loaded walk and a ground ball to the pitcher, good enough to put him in the NLCS. It wasn't exactly Kirk Gibson homering off of Dennis Eckersley in Game 1 of the 88 series, but Dodger fans will take it. Brian, how you doing, my friend?
As one of my heroes said, Tony, just win, baby.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know what? That's how we ended the conversation.
In that Kirk Gibson home run, they lost the World Series, so...
hang on a second here. I mean, the A's lost the World Series on the Kirk Gibson home run. The Dodgers won the World Series in five, mainly because of Hershiser, because he was unhittable, for goodness sake.
But they have to be in the championship game. That would be a if they don't make the World Series, it's going to be a disappointing season. And the Brew Crew, who I think is going to beat the Cubs, is going to be tough to beat.
So of course the Dodgers will not have home field if the Brewers do indeed win.
Well, and they've got the hottest arm in the league right now.
Well, and I would be with you, Brian. We'll have the game, by the way, on our air both tonight and tomorrow, the deciders with, of course, the Mariners and the Tigers tonight at 4:30, 5 o'clock, first pitch on 790, and then the Cubs and the Brewers game 5 from Milwaukee. That love fest between those two cities that are 90 miles apart on Saturday. But I will tell you this, in regard to the Dodgers, I know it would have been a major disappointment if they didn't make it back to the league championship series. It'll be a major disappointment if they don't make the World Series as defending champions. But there is a story, Brian, I'm sure you've already seen it, headline story of ESPN.com, all about Aaron Judge and the fact now that 8 times in 9 years, as he's been the leader of the Yankees, they've made the playoffs and they haven't won the World Series, and there are going to be a lot of changes made, and Aaron is 34 years old, and the gist of the entire story is how much longer is he going to have to wait, because right now he has what you don't want to have, Brian, that moniker of the greatest Yankee never to win a World Series, and you know the expectations there. So it's going to be a very interesting time for us baseball-wise, on the field and off, and we'll certainly talk about it. Ryan, since you brought up Just Win, Baby, that's how we talked about the Fresno State game past.
That's right.
And it was a Just Win, Baby game. You come off the bye week now, and you put yourself in a position where you should be able to win tonight. You're a 6.5-point favorite on the road. But, Brian, there have been those games over the years where Fresno State has inexplicably stubbed its toe. It appears Matt Entz has a real good handle on this. Are you concerned at all about taking the game for granted tonight, or is that not an issue, in your opinion, within the confines of that locker room?
Well, I don't think it's the Dogs are going to take them too easy. I think Colorado State's going to have their backs up against the wall. I think the coach is on the hot seat. I think it's a tougher place to play. So the Dogs are going to have to deal with the elements, the fans, the other team. And it's going to be a tough game for them. But again, like last week, I think I said, you know, I thought it would be a close game. Even though the Dogs were favored by, 10.5 points, I thought clearly it was in a close game, and it was. And I think tonight's going to be another close game. I don't think the Dogs are going to blow them out. They're going to keep trying to run like they have in the past. They were not that successful last week, except for one big play made by my favorite, or one of my favorite running backs anyway. But the Dogs got to keep doing what they're doing. Keep pounding the ball, try to make some play action plays, and play good defense and take the ball away, and they were able to do that against Nevada. Enough to hold on.
Well, we had talked going into the year that when you play this style of football, you're going to be in every game. You're also going to have opposition that will be within a score or two no matter what. Now, the Southern game was the one exception, but even the Georgia Southern game, the Bulldogs were behind at halftime. In every game so far in conference, although we're early in the conference season, it has been a play or two here or there, and even in the non-conference here, the Oregon State game, etc. So, that having been said, are you confident that E.J. Warner will avoid the big mistake, Brian? Where are you at with him right now?
I'm maybe a little better than last week. You know, he got a little better. And if he just keeps getting a little better and doesn't make the big mistake, then I think he's going to win. But he's going to be playing some tougher defenses as, you know, the season moves on. Nevada played tough defense, and the head coach is a well-known defensive coach, and I think they had a good game plan for Fresno, and Fresno State was not able to move the ball up and down the field against them.
Well, you know, the Bulldogs have played well enough to win, and you look at the conference standings right now, and we mentioned you have this unusual situation where Fresno State has three bye weeks, including the ones clustered around this game, then you've got the bye getting ready for San Diego State, then you've got Boise State, and then another bye. So as we've talked, Brian, they have a chance to rest. This team should not get worn down. But when you look at the conference standings, you know you're taking the top two. San Diego State is right there. UNLV is undefeated. Right now, even San Jose State's undefeated in conference at 1-0. But Boise State is there. I would say you cannot afford a loss to a team like Colorado State, even on the road, that kind of thing will bite you in the end. Can you lose this game and get away with it, or is it, in that regard, almost a must-win given what you have in front of you?
I think it's a must-win given what you have in front of you, Tony. I don't think if you lose this game, you know, another loss is very likely, and then a loss after that, forget it. But even two losses may be too much. I think, like you said, UNLV, although they still haven't really beat anyone, they're undefeated. First time in program history, I believe, that they are where they are. San Diego State, I haven't fully watched them, but, you know, they're winning the games they're supposed to win. And, you know, Boise's going to be tough. And who knows, Utah State's playing a lot better, too. So it's not such a cakewalk. You can't afford to lose this game. You got to win this game.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Utah State goes to Hawaii. Those kind of games that you're not really paying attention to could be huge at the end of the year. The other thing is there's always that goal with the expanded playoff of being the group of five team. And I know that is not conversation around the locker room, but from a player standpoint, Brian, is it always in the back of your mind as long as you're undefeated in conference? Do you wonder, or do you not allow yourself that at any point? Never mind what the coaches might say, reminding you. Because even Matt Entz said, you know what, a little guilty of scoreboard watching after the first half against Nevada. I mean, where are you at with this team and a chance for that? And does it cause a focus issue at all with the team?
I think if you have high expectations, it doesn't. As long as you're focused on what it takes to get there, high expectations are good. And I don't like putting a ceiling on it. I want them to think they can go that far and get it done. Because if you don't think you can, Tony, you never will.
Well, you know, and that's a great point. Sometimes, you know, you're well aware of this. Teddy had the statement many times, we're in our submarine down here, meaning we are below the surface of the noise. We don't hear the noise, good, bad, or indifferent. That's how we coach. That's how we play. He's had great success doing that. But in the day and age of social media, is it realistic to think your team is that far submerged from all the noise? I'm just wondering about that.
No, I mean, it's there. And the kids, that's what they do. They social media. It's out there. You got to be able to deal with it. You can't just ignore it because they're not going to ignore it.
I want to get back to this running game of Fresno State. It is. We knew it was going to be a two-headed monster going in, and we knew that it was going to be five deep. But it is kind of scoped out now that you've got, obviously, Donaldson and Luke, but now you have Ramirez in there as well. Brian, can this offensive line and, you know, Walton getting better, and I believe there's a chance he's playing this week, can this offensive line be dominant enough that Fresno State can, as we've talked, say, here we come, we're going to run it no matter what you want, or are we still going to have to, from a fan standpoint, rely on the decision-making of Warner to make the proper short throws because that's where the open receivers are going to be, the tight end, et cetera. Can you just run it, period, or is Fresno State not quite in that position to do it?
I think the way I would answer that is certain teams, we can do that. We can run the ball and say, here we come, stop us. Other teams, like a Boise, we're not going to be able to do that. We're going to have to rely on the quarterback to make plays, but we're going to have to keep trying to run it. But I think the tougher defenses, as we've seen this year, the teams like Nevada that have tried to shut down the run have done a pretty good job of doing that against the Bulldogs.
Well, you're playing a team that's been vulnerable to the run, but they do have some guys on the defensive front, maybe not quite what Nevada had on the edge, but guys that can wreak havoc. I just look at Fresno State and say it's been kind of a high-wire act a little bit, but particularly defensively, Brian, they've been able to make the plays when they have to. What's going to carry the day for this team? Is it going to be fundamentally, as much as we talk about the O-line and the running game, is it going to be the defense that's going to determine whether Fresno State gets it done because of the style of play?
I think it's going to be, as Ann says, all phases of the game, including special teams. And you got to beat them in all phases. And if one phase isn't as good, you got to have the other one step up. And some game it might be the offense, some game defense, some game special teams. But you have to have a team working together cohesively with all three phases of the game, excelling as best you can. Because you don't know which one's going to pick you up that week. So you got to have them all available.
Now, you have a national TV game tonight on CBS Sports Network. But it is not a game that's a cause célèbre right now in Fort Collins because of the trouble that the Rams have had so far. And I always think back to when the Bulldogs played at La Tech one year. And they never, first of all, in Ruston, they never drew well, even when they had good teams. So I don't want to be unfair to the Ram fans. If Colorado State wins, they come out. But this is not going to be an electric environment. I know that Dave Nitz, the longtime voice at La Tech, had told us one night when Fresno State came in for a Friday game, he said, look, it's high school football here in Louisiana. It's also deer hunting season, and the new Waffle House opened up. So look out. There's not going to be anybody there. Be careful, because the flat environment can get you. Brian, as a player, do you worry more about a flat environment as opposed to a hostile environment when you go in so it doesn't seem like a glorified scrimmage out there? We've seen the Bulldogs sometimes flatten out, SMU, for instance, in 99, when nobody's around.
I was just thinking at SMU, and I was thinking Rice.
Yep, and one at Tulsa one year.
One of those Rice. Yeah, I mean, I believe that the crowd kind of drives the players. The more energy is, the more energy the players are going to have. And kind of a dull, boring, kind of like the UCLA-Fresno State game last year. There was no energy in the Rose Bowl. It was like it wasn't even a scrimmage. And obviously the teams didn't play well. But with the crowd
The people hyped up. I think it's better for the players. I think it's better for the Bulldogs. They got a lot to play for tonight. They had a short week. They came off a game that they struggled in the end, but they were able to hold on like several of the games. This is a chance for them to go to put themselves in a really good position with a week off and really to get ready to gear up and then get a few more games and get another week off. So it sets up. So, I mean, the schedule makers, it's probably the only thing the Mountain West did to help Fresno State. They probably didn't think they were doing it to help them.
Well, I know they're going to get an officiating crew tonight that Fresno State is not wild about, and there's nothing they can do about that.
They're the same refs. They're only supposed to be allowed two games in a row, two games for the season. Do we have the same refs as from last 2 weeks again?
Well, I'm going to check with Jackson. I've heard conflicting reports about this, but it's my understanding that you have got officials that Fresno State's not wild about with this game, but I will double-check that if I can during one of the breaks. There's nothing you can do about it. Look,
check that rule. I think there was a rule that you're not supposed to have more than one crew more than two times during the conference season, and I believe we've had that back-to-back, the same crew for the last 2 weeks.
Well, I know this, that there was not exactly delight in Hawaii, period, about the crew that was there, but we've talked many times about the reality of playing on the islands and what's going to happen to you. But look, you can't let this, irrespective, Ron, you can't let it get in your head. And it shouldn't make any difference tonight. I would think if Fresno State does not turn the ball over, and what I mean is, and you know, look, over and over again, it's not the number of turnovers sometimes as much as it is when. If it's third and 25 and you're at midfield and you throw an INT on third and 25 down at the 8-yard line, it might have been better than a punt. By the same token, turning the thing over when you're – well, for instance, look at what happened to your Rams against the 49ers, right? I mean –
no, I didn't see that game, Tony.
The turnover when you're on your way into the end zone – that turns into a play that changes the game as you're ready to take the lead. Those are the turnovers that eat you alive, the ones that make short fields or defensive scores. But if the Bulldogs don't have the catastrophic turnovers tonight, I don't see how they lose this football game. Is that a little bit too arrogant, or is that true? Just wondering.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I don't think you're considering the intangibles. Colorado State has it back to the wall. It's a Friday night game. They're at home. They really need to win the game. The Bulldogs are, you know, a day from being off. They seem like they think they can get through it every game. But the most impressive thing, Tony, about the Bulldogs, now I say it's grit, but they couldn't smell a first down in the second half until the last drive of the game.
Yeah.
And they were able to kill the clock with, 9 minutes of drive, and they couldn't get a first down. And they turn it on when they needed to. And that showed me a lot of character, a lot of courage, and a lot of grit on that team.
The coaching staff has gone out of its way to say it's not only one game at a time, one play at a time. And so far it's worked out. But what you're bringing up about the second half against Nevada, the offense had flat disappeared. What do you attribute that to Nevada's defense, or did Fresno State, as Ant said, maybe look at the scoreboard a little bit too much early on?
Well, I think it's a combination. Obviously, Nevada made some adjustments. Fresno State let up. Fresno State maybe didn't focus as well. And Fresno State made some mistakes. They missed some assignments. They didn't execute as well. And there were a lot of three and outs in the second half, and Nevada started to get a rolling there for a while.
Well, the high wire act that I talk about, I would like to see the Bulldogs. I don't expect them to win by 2 and 3 touchdowns the way they play, but I'd like to see it not come down to one play here or there, because eventually fate is going to kick you in the butt. You and I both know it. And it appears right now that a singular loss, you know, we talked about this, divisional play, you pay more attention to your divisional opponents. In this kind of setup now that we had last year and will finish up for the vast majority, or at least the top echelon moving off to the pack, finishing up with this setup, it's the top two teams. And so, again, Brian, you don't know which game across the conference schedule might be the one that gets you in the end. Well, you're not even playing that game because somebody's winning somewhere else and there's a tiebreaker at the end. So is it reasonable to expect this team to not have it come down to one play tonight? I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think they can win it without making it come down to one play, but they're going to have to play with better execution throughout the entire game. Not just that, they're going to have to put together a more complete game, Tony, and that's what it's going to take.
Well, they played two really good quarters last week offensively, and then they played two very poor quarters offensively. The constant in the defense has been they've made big plays when they've had to, but at times the defense, and it happened against Oregon State, it also happened against Hawaii, they did give up late drives, but then they were able to make the play to shut it down. I would assume tonight that they should not be in that position. We'll see what happens. 6 o'clock again on CBS Sports Network. Brian, what I want to ask you about before we wrap it up is something we've talked about a number of times, and that is this incredible chasm between the haves and the have-nots financially. And this week has been maybe the greatest example. Stanford gets a $50 million donation slash endowment from Brad Freeman, who was really a nondescript player in the early 60s at Stanford.
He's my neighbor, Tony. He's my neighbor.
I know he is. Let me finish.
Yes.
But a tremendously successful investment banker who has been a major player at Stanford for quite some time in the administrative end there. It is a tremendous gift, but does it again illustrate that and what's going on with this private equity situation where maybe $2 billion is going to be put into the coffers of the folks in the Big Ten as if they need more? Is this now widening it to the point, Brian, that it's become a joke, period? I mean, Cal is worried about losing their quarterback potentially to Stanford because of Stanford money. I mean, how do you feel about this philosophically right now?
Well, I think college football no longer exists the way it has for 150 years, and it's now like the NFL. But even the NFL has limits. They have contract terms. They have salary caps. And it's just wide open in college football. It's the Wild West again.
What does Freeman tell you about this? Is this he just got tired of them losing?
I didn't talk to him about it. Yeah, I think that. I think he's a diehard Stanford guy. I know he endowed the head coaching position years ago. He's a big, you know, Stanford guy. I do see him driving around. His license plate says Fargo. He's from North Dakota. He's very successful. He's a very generous guy, and he's a big-time Stanford supporter. And he put it up. I saw that. I was like, good for him. Where's our Fresno State guy like that?
Well, if it's Fargo, doesn't he want to talk to Matt Entz about his coaching career? Don't we want to talk about North Dakota?
That's a good point. That's a good point. But the guy's a great guy. I've seen him have a huge events over his home for Stanford supporters. He does a great job raising money for them. And for him, that's just a mere peanuts in a world of elephants, Tony.
Well, I'm aware of that. And look, Brian, I don't have a problem with that because that is private money that he earned, and he has the right to do with it what he pleases. However, and it is a big however, the issue with the Big Ten, and they're not the first ones to dip their toe in this, though it is very interesting. There's a story by Pete Thamel and by Dan Wetzel that's there at ESPN.com about this. The $2 billion equity arrangement, which actually is part of the UC pension here, the investment is really an investment into a publicly held entity. And, Brian, I don't know if you have the problem with it that I do, but we pay taxes for schools, and like Cal or Stanford, for instance, though they are in the ACC, but certainly UCLA, that's a publicly funded institution that is reaping benefit in the Big Ten, but that private equity means the taxes that we pay are going to be monetized privately. And, Brian, I have a problem with that. And I would have a problem with it even if it benefited a Fresno State. Do you have issue with taking what amounts to a publicly held institution and monetizing it privately with investment?
Well, first of all, Stanford wouldn't fall underneath that.
No, right? not Stanford, but UCLA.
But a public
Norwood
university.
USC.
You know,
Norwood,
no,
USC.
I don't think there's.
But,
I don't have a
UCLA.
Problem. I'm for capitalism, and whatever it takes, you know, it's available. I think it should be wide open, and they should take advantage of it. I mean, you look. I've seen UCLA Health. UCLA Health is affiliated with the Clippers, and you know other non-entities are filled with athletics in other areas
right.
other than college. So I don't see a problem with it.
But when you talk about, for instance, Big Ten enterprises, what they're trying to put together, and it is interesting that the two big halves in the traditional Big Ten, Ohio State and Michigan, are very skeptical about this because when they look at the money allocation of the $2 billion across 18 member schools, what they're seeing is, though there's going to be a slight variance, a tiered system, it is a minuscule tiered system in that they've guaranteed minimum nine-figure payouts, which means at least $100 million. So if you said you had 18 member schools and $100 million, you're at $1.8 billion right there, which means that the Ohio States and Michigans are going to get a nominal amount more than the others. They don't like that because they know they can make more money on their own. That's an issue they have to solve. But, Brian, the other one, and this is what bothers me, is in this they want to tie up the grant of rights all the way to 2046, which means what they're trying to do is keep up only with the SEC and trying to preclude that super conference, meaning the bottom part of the Big Ten doesn't want the top part to break away. You okay with that one too?
Yeah. I like to see them stay, not break away. And I think it makes it a little more competitive.
Don't you want to see the PAC reform? Realistically, don't you want to
yeah.
see schools come back home?
I do, and I think some of them will anyway, but it's going to separate it out. They're going to get money. It's going to even out a little bit.
All right, the last thing then. What happens to the Fresno States of the world with this kind of thing? I mean, because when you look at the pack that we're going to see, the people that call it a glorified Mountain West, in a way, it's true, although I think as we've talked, you took the upper echelon of the Mountain West, tied it in with the two holdovers, Washington State and Oregon State, and it is the potential of who you can add, not the conference at the stationary eight. Would that conference hold any promise to monetize itself that way?
I think they got to add two more big-time members.
So
for that,
where are you going to find them? Yeah, okay, so define that for me.
We know who the options are, Tulane, Memphis.
But are those moved the needle out here?
I don't know.
Would,
but that's
would
who, Cal, what other options are there?
Would Cal and Stanford be the school?
Bring them back?
You know, Cal maybe, Stanford, no way, right? Isn't that the truth? Stanford would never come back?
Academically snobby. I don't see Stanford ever agreeing to be in a conference with what they think are inferior academic institutions like us.
I agree with that, but I also think there's a big difference. As much as we tie Cal and Stanford together, and you can academically because you're talking about one of the great private institutions and one of the great public institutions in the world academically, but you and I both know the politics at Stanford can be solved by $50 million from a Bradford Freeman. The politics at Cal are not as easy because they are a UC system. Could they at least be forced to come back into the fold? Maybe they and even a UCLA at some point.
It's possible, but I don't see it happen for a little while. We'll see what happens after this year. Cal may have a decent year, but then they start losing all the players to Stanford. Maybe they're going to have to rethink it all. Unless they get one of those scientists to get $50
million. Well, by the way, is this the one
nuclear physicist? Those are the guys that give the $50 million, and they're not giving it to the football program at Cal.
Well, with the Silicon Valley guys running out of money here as we see startups fold left and right up there? Is that what's happening?
Well, I mean, I think Cal's money comes from these big inventions and these patent assignments and stuff, and they raise a ton of money in the university. They just can't get it for athletics.
Well, you are great friends, as I am, with Jeff Tedford, and you know we talked to Teddy both on and off the air when he got to Cal about the priority of athletics at Cal, where administratively, and I know they have different people now in charge of things, but he had mentioned that they seem to go out of their way to make it difficult for their coaches to succeed there. Now, that is not the case at Stanford, and I would imagine at UCLA, if they're going to get at least $100-plus million extra, they're probably not going anywhere either. But I'm just looking at it from a Fresno State point of view, Brian. It's a good conference we're going to see, but if they're going to make major inroads, the Pac, they are going to have to find more than just the eight. Otherwise, they are going to fall under that header of it's just a glorified Mountain West with the two teams that were not wanted by the Pac. Isn't that the cold, hard truth as we stand right now?
I think it's yet to be determined. They're trying to work on solutions. They don't have one now, obviously. And I think it's up in the air. It may just be a glorified Mountain West and they can't add a real teams.
I think that they're going to have a reasonable chance of doing this. It is certainly better than staying behind. That's for sure. And as you and I have talked, I think there are folks at UNLV in the athletic area, as we've talked many times, Brian, that really wish they would have taken the offer. It would have been better for UNLV. I don't think they're going to get another bite at the apple, but who knows. But I will ask you then in closing, do schools like Tulane and Memphis really move the needle the way you need them to?
Well, I think for the TV and bringing different areas in, they do that football. You know, Memphis is a big basketball school, so I don't know that Memphis would want to do it. And, you know, Tony, I think it's a step-by-step process. First of all, we got to get out of the Mountain West. We got to get the buyout fees, the poaching fees, all that worked. Once that's resolved, then I think they're going to regroup and assess the situation monetarily and who they can get in. And I think it's a multiple-step process. First step is to get the litigation and the clean break from the conference accomplished. And then maybe teams from the conference may come.
All right, as I let you go, will Congress, as I've asked you many times before, will they finally grow a pair and step in with this, or is it such a political hot potato, like we've said? The rhetoric is there, but ultimately, number one, there are a lot more needs in this country right now than what's going on in collegiate athletics. But the other thing is, for every congressman or congresswoman who says, we need to make this change, when they go to talk to their brethren, do they hear too much? No, you know what? It's either superfluous or it's not met with much delight in my area, so I can't help you. Can you ever draw enough consensus to get this done? I don't care whether it's the president or senators or representatives.
No, I think the first point you made, Tony, is the best one. There's just too much other stuff going on in the world, in America, than Congress is going to what they think waste time or spend all this time and have hearings and make legislation about college athletics when we have the United States government shut down for now, what is it, 9 days? We have everything held up. We have wars going on around the world. We have all these financial issues going on and state issues and National Guard deployed and all this stuff going on, I think, in the scheme and the whole list of priorities, NIL and college athletics is going to be down on the very bottom, and the portal and those things.
I think you're right. It's also unfortunate that now the going rate for a middle-of-the-road quarterback might be $2 or $3 million, and if somebody has it to spend, that's what they're going to do. And if you're a Fresno State, you want the Speedy Lukes of the world and the Bryson Donaldsons to have great seasons. but you don't want to lose them. And I just think it's very unfortunate what we've come to, but it is what it is. And if you love sport, as you and I both do, growing up at the same time watching it, you try to put that aside, right? You try to just focus. Again,
it's got to focus.
For the uniform, not the name on the back. Isn't that the kind of thing we talk about?
You only worry about what you can control. We don't have any control over what's going to happen, so why worry about it? It's going to be what it's going to be. You know, look at last year. Dogs lost a lot of guys. They lost the coach. A whole new staff came in. A whole big turnover of the roster. And so far, so good. So you just never know.
That's a good way to end it. Last week it was just win, baby. This week is you just never know. I think they'll win tonight. I know you feel the same way, and I hope when we're talking next week, we'll be talking about this team resting up and then getting ready for that back-to-back with San Diego State and Boise State. Brian, always appreciate the time, and in all sincerity, good luck to your Dodgers. Since we have them on our air all the way through the World Series, you guys might as well win it
again. Let's hope we're there. Let's hope we're there, Tony. There's a long way to go, but I'd rather be playing than sitting at home like the San Francisco Giants or be on vacation.
You could have taken the high road, but oh no. You had to.
Oh no. Not with the Giants.
I've got the remember 10, 12, and 14 bumper sticker ready to go because that's all I got to hang on to. All right, that's it.
Peace.
60 years of torture.
Take care, Tone.
I'll see you.
God
later,
bless. Man.
Yeah, go Dodgers and go something else, too. I'll talk to you later, Pfizer.
All right.
I'll see you. Bye.
Take care.
All right. I tried. I gave it my best shot, but at the end it had to be go Dodgers, go. Yeah, I don't need to finish the rest of it. You guys know it already. And don't email me, Dodger. You know, Paul, if Pastor Robles, I know you're a wonderful guy, and I know I give you a bad time about the Dodgers. I'm just tired of them winning, okay? But Paul, I was tired of them winning in 1962 when the Giants won the World Series. I was tired of them winning throughout my childhood, and I'm tired of them winning now, okay? But that having been said, go blue. All right, got to take a break. I know I'm behind, Jorge. Sorry about that. Come back, tell you about sponsors, get you ready for Phil, and get you ready for the schedule for both 1430 and 790. Don't forget, 6 o'clock tonight, the Bulldogs on CBS Sports Network in Fort Collins. Take a break. Bulldog Hour continues on this Friday in Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 2:46, about 10 minutes or so to go in the show, and then off to Phil and his fine show behind the bench. Tell you all about the schedules coming up here, and also want to again thank our sponsors. On Friday, I moved things around because Brian does have to get back to court most of the time. I do want to make a few things clear. Number one, and you guys know this already, been listening for a while, I think it's a tremendous move, Fresno State, to the Pac. But one more time, the Pac cannot stay stationary at 8 if they're going to be relevant long-term. They lopped off the bottom of the Mountain West to move forward, and that's really important. As we've said, it's really hard to do that administratively because presidents of universities move with glacier-like speed because of their interpersonal relationships. Chance to clear the deck, able to do that, that's a positive, but you're going to have to move beyond 8. I think everybody knows that. And the other thing is, and it's still a concern, while I don't have a problem with any monetizing privately that relieves the burden from the taxpayer, I do worry about the haves getting so far out front that every time you develop talent at the group of five level or whatever you want to call it, the non-P2s, the non-SECs and Big Tens of the world, that for money and money alone, your guys are understandably going to leave. So you're going to do all the work, and you're going to become a glorified farm system for the haves. And that is something that on the pro level, you accept it. You have a salary cap to try to avoid it. But if somebody really wants to play for the Lakers more than the Orlando Magic, they're going to do it. And that's understandable because of the market and the opportunities. But collegiately, it shouldn't be that way. You shouldn't have guys saying, I really want to stay where I'm at, but the money across the country is so much greater that I owe it to myself and my family. Since there's never any guarantee about my pro career, I got to go. That absolutely destroys the underpinnings of collegiate athletics, and that's what I'm really bothered by. And the more they monetize it, and the more another $2 billion come to the Big Ten, the more you're going to see this happening. And I think it's just really, really unfortunate. But nobody wants to step up and stop it because it's a political hot potato. And that's in the courts, we already know we've gone through it a million times. Personal rights over everything else, I get it. But it really is running counter to everything that collegiate athletics supposed to stand for. So that's my own personal issue. A guy who's, you know, pushing up on 70, maybe if you're 25 years old right now, you feel differently. And if I were 25, I'd be whistling zippity-doo-dah out of you-know-where just for being 25 years old, particularly when you could eat whatever in hell you wanted when you're 25. When you're my age, they tell you, you can't eat the food you want. You can eat the cardboard box. It might have come in for the roughage, but you can't have the food anymore. That having been said, I want to thank our sponsors. Want to start with the weather from Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Great local people. Been in the Central Valley in NorCal since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had it into work. Great, great people. Again, leesair.com or 825-533-7, 825-LEES. Anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing. As far as the forecast goes, it's, again, perfect weather. The lows in the 50s, the highs in the high 70s, 79 today, 76 tomorrow, 74 on Sunday, 71 Monday, and then late Monday into Tuesday and maybe carrying through into Wednesday, we have a chance for rain in the valley floor. The mountains may see some over the weekend. We might get from a half to three quarters of an inch of rain on the valley floor, and that's important because it looks like it might be a La Nina winter, which means, as opposed to El Nino, we're not going to see the kind of rain we need. So we can get a little bit right now. That would be great. We'll see what happens. Again, the temperatures all the way from the 70s to the 60s, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So the temps are good. If we get the rain from late Monday through Tuesday and maybe scattered showers on Wednesday in the valley floor, that would be good news. Anyway, thanks to everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time. And don't forget, they bring you our guests and Phil's guests and callers from the general public on the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. So mark that one down. And again, to reach them for anything you need, leesair.com or 825-5337, 825-LEES for Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing. The other reminders, one comes courtesy of our buddy Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Joe has been a booster at Fresno State for over three decades, celebrating the 25th anniversary of his great business, 4529 North Marty Avenue in town, Suite 103. You can give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, everything is there for you in-house, family-friendly business. If you're someone who's working around a valve, if you're at a plant, maintenance person, tanker delivery service, anything you have that is, from an industrial standpoint, reliant upon valves, if a valve goes down, your business can go down in a big hurry with it, and the financial hit can be catastrophic. What Joe can do, he and Gabe, who works for Joe, they can analyze your problem on a same-day basis, give you an estimate, keep you up and running if you're having a problem. If you've already hit ground floor with this, they can get you back up and running in a big hurry. Stop in and see them or give them a call or go to the web at superiorpipeusa.com. Or Gabe has a direct email, Gabe Mullins, who works for Joe, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. They will help you out in a big hurry. And also what they will do for you right now, Joe will, if you can stop in for a few minutes, he'll tell you how you can donate to Fresno State. And we've mentioned this before. The best avenue right now is head to GoBulldogs.com. That is the main website. There's a donate link at the top. You click on that, and it will take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org is there. The major giving societies are there. That includes the Green V Society. We've talked about that over the years, and the Myers Champion Circle. And then under ways to give, you've got the delineation of the methods of support telling you how you can benefit individual sports. You also have the sports clubs, Timeout Club, for instance, for men's basketball. Jack Fertig with me on Wednesdays to talk basketball. They'd love to have more members. He has said, give him a call, 287-3305. That is his cell, or ferdyjack@AOL.com for more information. They have the banquet coming up, by the way, on Monday. RSVP was last week, but you can call 278-7160 and see if you can still get in for Monday at Pardini's if they have tickets remaining. They've sold out in years prior. Also, you have Quarterback Club for football and a lot of other links for other men's and women's sports there under sports clubs. And then you also have the Valley Co-op, which is very important as they match funds. And we talked about this when Jamie De La Serta got involved. And we have seen this now become at the forefront of what's going on. See what Vance Wahlberg did for his own program, etc. Check all of that out at GoBulldogs.com under Donate, and you can get to the link you need. There's also a link there for information for tickets and parking on campus. And we thank Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, for allowing us the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. The other reminders here before we wrap things up and head off to Phil, our buddies at KFC in Fresno, in Clovis, in Selma, in Kerman, they have great deals going on in addition to their Tuesday $10 eight-piece bucket and their Wednesday country fried steak meal for just $5.99. They have the original honey barbecue two-piece chicken combo right now for just $10.99. That has not only the honey barbecue sauce, the individual sides, the biscuit, the medium drink, even the wet nap for you. They've got that for $10.99. They've got the three-piece chicken combo for $13.39. And they also have the original honey barbecue three-piece tenders combo for just $12.59 and the four-piece for just $14.19. So those are great deals underway at the local KFCs. And finally, they have the original honey barbecue chicken sandwich combo for $11.29. And all of those come with the dipping sauces and the sides and the medium drink, so it is, and biscuits as well. So it's a great chance to stop by the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, pick up a meal. Tell them thanks for supporting Fresno State Athletics and everything across the valley. We really appreciate this international, national company with the local entities stepping forward to help out, because we certainly need it right now financially, that's for sure. And then finally, want to thank Ed Dunkel, his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. Ed, a proud graduate of the Lyles College of Engineering at Fresno State. A lot of the engineers working for him went right through the program as he did at Fresno State. They have a lot of fundraising that they do, and everything they do unifies athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully. We commend Ed for everything he does for his alma mater and for this valley as a whole, and he allows us the time to bring you the schedule. And so, again, for us tonight, it's Garza at Sanger, 7 o'clock. That will be Phil and Paul Metters. You also have tonight over on 790, the football game on 1430. You've got the Mariners and the Tigers in Seattle to decide things who will go to the ALCS. Tomorrow we will have the Cubs and Brewers doing the same in the National League, and of course the Dodgers await the winner of that, and the Blue Jays await the winner of the game tonight in Seattle. We'll have the AL and NLCS for you and the World Series as well. We've got a ton of football over the weekend. The 49ers are in Tampa. Adrian Martinez may get some playing time because Jones now is saying he's not sure he can play. We know Purdy is out. We'll see what happens. 49ers need the win. They, like the Bulldogs, have been winning at the last moment each and every week. We'll see what happens there. So they're in Tampa, late game in the afternoon. The Rams are at Baltimore against the suddenly struggling Ravens early on Sunday. The Raiders host the Titans. We have all of those games. We also have the Sunday night game, and of course, Monday, it's a doubleheader, and it's Major Wager Monday. Carter and the gang at Me and Ed's Victory Grill, Granite Park, Cedar in Dakota. Stop by and see them. Great food, great atmosphere, and the game, and some terrific giveaways. Again, Major Wager Monday, Granite Park, Me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar in Dakota. And then finally, the reminder about shows themselves. Phil, 3 to 6, normally Monday through Friday with his great show Behind the Bench, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our friend Rod Avedikian. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. The great conversation. Phil shows some good eats as well, El Paso across from River Park. Paul Metters, two fine shows on 790, Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics, 6 to 7 on Wednesdays on 790, and then on Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. to noon on 1430 from First Ring Sports, Central Valley Sports Report. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number one, at att.net. And then for the station, 1430 ESPN Fresno.com. You find the live links and podcast there. Get the app, makes it a lot easier to listen. And one last reminder again, Fresno State tonight at 6 o'clock, CBS Sports Network. Paul will be with me on Monday to talk about it. Jackson, like Paul, is in Fort Collins. He'll be with me on Tuesday. We'll break it all down. Bulldogs have a bye week after this, and then the critically important back-to-back with San Diego State and then Boise State. So a very important stretch. Hope you watch the game tonight. Hope you also listen to Phil and Paul tonight from Sanger with Garza and Sanger, and we will see you guys on Monday. Thanks to Jorge. Thanks to Brian Panish. Phil is coming up. We'll see you on Monday on KFIG Fresno.